be aware of your surroundings. Simple as that. Earplugs out, eyes and head up.
A few things that we, the hotel committee, suggest is always monitor your luggage.
The bad actors out there are going to look for somebody who appears vulnerable, who appears to be prey.
This is APA Communications Director Greg Overman back with another edition of 5x5. This time around, we're talking with Security Committee Chair First Officer Paul Nelson and Hotel Committee Chair First Officer Andrew Zahn about staying safe while on layover. This discussion was prompted by recent feedback we've received from APA members about the conditions they encountered while laying over in Georgetown, Guyana. Of course, whether you fly internationally or domestically, it's always important to exercise vigilance to help ensure your personal safety. Let's begin by addressing the types of precautions that always make sense, whatever city you happen to be in, whether in the U.S. or abroad. So we're fortunate to have a security committee chair who has a background in law enforcement. First Officer Nelson, with your particular expertise, what kind of practical advice do you have for our pilots when it comes to their personal safety? What should they be on the lookout for?
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for the opportunity to comment. Hey, let me put it down, break it down to the most simplest thing you can do. And this could be domestically, internationally, anywhere. And I know it sounds fundamentally simple, but it is really the basis from which everything springs. Be aware of your surroundings. Simple as that. Earplugs out, eyes and head up, and consider yourself, if you decide to leave a hotel and walk around, you know, from a real basic instinctive kind of perspective, are you predator or prey? And the bad actors out there are going to look for somebody who appears vulnerable, who appears to be prey. So don't carry yourself that way. Obviously in law enforcement, your first level of control is your presence, the way you carry yourself. And that translates to the way you as an individual, as a pilot, carry yourself in public. Really, that's one of the most fundamental pieces that you can do. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware who's around you. You sort of counter-surveil who's looking at you and who's actively avoiding looking at you. That's a bit of a tell. If you're going to go walk around, I would suggest that you pull out Google Maps before you head out and have an idea of where you're going and follow a route. Do a little bit of research as to where you think you want to go and what kind of conditions exist. There's a lot of information available on the web to help you get an idea for what is going on. The violent crime is generally... And depending on where you go, of course, that's really kind of a lower percentage thing. Where you're really most exposed is in the petty theft type of stuff, where people are going to, you know, the crime of opportunity. And don't be that victim where you make it easy for somebody to pick a pocket or just to snatch a phone out of your hand because you're not looking and watching for it. Something as simple as that. Does that answer your question?
It does. That's excellent advice. What I'm hearing is that a lot of this comes down to how you carry yourself. If you appear distracted, then you probably are distracted. If, on the other hand, you're head up, shoulders back, walking with confidence, looking around, clearly aware of your environment, you reduce the odds quite a bit of somebody deciding, hey, that's an easy mark, and that's who I'm going to go after.
That's it. And, you know, you look at there is, you know, evil all over the world. So the really bad actor, despite those precautions that you take, you know, you can still become, you know, they're that type of victim, but they're far, you know, farther and fewer between than the folks who your common everyday criminal, as it were. We're lucky enough to work for an international airline. We fly everywhere around the world. And to say that we go to some risky places shouldn't discount the fact that, hey, you know, you could get mugged downtown Des Moines, too. So we just have to have our head in the game no matter where we are. Hey, it's great. We're on a layover. It's really not the time to let your guard down. You know, I go back to to the days. So I was hired at American Airlines in 91. So 10 years before 9/11, and the job changed decidedly, I think, after 9/11. And it's something to remember. We have a growing demographic of these pilots. And this was discussed here last week that 9/11 was a middle school history lesson, and not a good or bad thing, but the import and the fact that, aviation is a target and will remain a target. That precedent has been established by 9/11. So, it is definitely never the time at work to let down your guard. You don't have to be hypervigilant, but, take all the steps necessary to ensure that the security procedures are followed. Complacency kills, just like in aviation. We just have to keep vigilant. When I'm going away to work, I'm going away to work. And so that changes my game, so to speak. There is no, while layovers are great, I don't let my guard down really until I get home. And again, that changed as a result of 9/11. I went from wearing a gun in a patrol car to wearing a gun in a cockpit. And so that same mindset came with it. When I go away to work, it's I'm in basically condition yellow, looking for any kind of threats, and you could be calm and relaxed and enjoy the trip, no question about it, but it's not the time to lower your guard. If that makes any sense.
It certainly does. So Paul, for the benefit of our members, tell us a little bit about your background in law enforcement, if you don't mind.
Yeah, and I don't want to overstate it. I was 24 years a reserve police officer with a city in Southern California. I'm still involved with law enforcement on the airborne law enforcement perspective for two agencies here in Southern California. I got involved with it because shortly after I got hired, we started furloughing it, and I needed to have something in the pipeline. My degrees in from the University of California, Santa Barbara, law and society, bachelor of arts degree. So my head is in the law game. Did a year in law school, in fact, prior to continuing my flying career. Civilian background, not military. But again, I don't want to overstate it because we have a lot of guys who have certainly much more substantial law enforcement credentials than I do. But it's something, my head's been in this game for a long, long time, put it that way.
That's excellent. So let's shift gears here for a moment. And with the hotel committee chair, first officer Andrew Zahn, let's talk about some of the particular hotspots around the American Airlines system in your assessment. And based on the feedback that we get from pilots, are there locations in particular that may require extra care? There is such a thing as wrong place, wrong time, and how one of the ways to mitigate that is through awareness. What should our pilots be aware of, Andrew, in those terms?
Greg, thanks for inviting me, and glad to be on here with Paul. Also, Paul and I collaborate a lot. He'll receive a report and share it with me if it's hotel related, safety related. Same thing for me. As soon as we got the Georgetown report, Paul and I collaborated, got his entire committee involved. And so we work together on those types of aspects. Any and all reports that we receive, the hotel debrief is still the number one way that pilots are letting us know that they have a safety concern or something that has happened that needs immediate attention, that we read each and every one of those. We address those with American Airlines management. We're able to share it with other committees, specifically security related. Paul, pilots sometimes will put security related stuff embedded in the quick 30-second survey. We don't find those as quickly as we would a hotel debrief. The Georgetown, obviously international, obviously third world, was a situation that we wanted to address sooner than later. And referencing the 30-second survey data, we were able to make a change in the hotel. But typically our international layovers, we're in safer hotels, we're in safer areas. American Airlines does address that they do want us to be in a safe area. It's more on the domestic side that we have pilots that are concerned with San Francisco, downtown, Tenderloin area, what it has become over the years, Seattle, Las Vegas, the legalization of marijuana, the marijuana use downtown San Diego, Los Angeles, where we're not staying downtown anymore. We seem to get a lot more on the domestic side for safety, security concerns than we do on the international side. So once again, it's through the 30-second survey, it's through the hotel debriefs, it's through pilots emailing us, phone calls, text, that we're able to collaborate within APA and also collaborate with American Airlines to address these issues. And with Georgetown, it was a success with American Airlines that we were able to address it rather quickly and get a hotel change.
You know, it's fair to say that the hotel committee is a real bright spot when it comes to membership engagement. I remember from a few weeks back, one of your recent reports to the APA Board of Directors about the volume of member feedback that we got for the year 2020. Recap that for us, if you would, and as an illustration of just how much membership feedback your committee receives and how you're able to put it to use.
Right. So we've received survey data for approximately 4 years now that really got underway this year, even with COVID, even with reduction in flying, the reduction of layovers. For the year 2020, we had over 166,000 reports. And from that information, we're able to find what are the right hotels, what are the wrong hotels, where are the safety concerns, where are the food issue concerns, all the different flight level 350 view on hotels and transportation. We're able to find out things within transportation that individual reports don't really tell us. But then through the efforts and the reports from numerous different pilots, we're able to find out problems in different cities that we normally wouldn't see just in a report, but it's through the data, through the statistics that we're able to find out information and then address that with American Airlines and make corrections where there's more than one pilot reporting the exact same issue.
Right. Very important. I know you've said time and again that American Airlines is they're data driven. And so this kind of information is what it takes to effect change. And clearly on the hotel front, that's happening. And that's thanks to the membership taking the time to provide their feedback and to your effectiveness as a committee in working with management. So And the same applies on the security front. In addition to the hotel debrief and 30-second survey forms, there is a security debrief form, correct, Paul? And that's something we also encourage pilots to use.
That's true. That's correct. We have that. There's also the company just came out with MyMobile 365, a security debrief. So we're trying to create, I have to say that corporate security has been very collaborative up to this point. The doors have opened as far as information sharing. And we're trying to create a product, basically an information product and stream. Because right now we get information pushed to us. We've had unfortunately, traditionally sort of adversarial relationship with management. This is what it is. But they push security information to us. But, you know, security information can get stale really quick. And the idea is that, you know, hopefully we as pilots and frontline employees can be actually much more of a trained observer and feed information back into the security apparatus so that, hey, you know, you told us this was an effect, but actually, no, the roadblocks are just a block away from the airport. And, you know, so we feed information, we're trained observers, we put information back into the system. And therefore, we can tailor the operation. The operation can be tailored so that, hey, you know, maybe we need to move up our date of turning these into turns, these trips into turns, sooner than what we were planning prior. That kind of thing, if that makes any sense. From the report perspective, though, here's key. We had some great reports on Guyana. Really nice, really, really well written. But, and this is a tough juggle. And I have to look at them, and there was a lot of stuff that was described that is really it's shocking to the conscience, you know, in terms of seeing an animal, a dog, a domestic dog butchered for food. You know, that is something we're absolutely not used to in the United States. It's very shocking. It's tough to see, but that's also something that is not rare around the world, put it that way. So, you know, we have to understand we're in a third world country. I've traveled throughout Africa. I've traveled in Central America. I've been in China and traveled there on personal travels, you know, and So I've seen a lot of different things. So when I read that report, I'm like, okay, yeah, duly noted. What I'm looking for, though, when I review these reports, like if I get them sent over by Andrew, I'm looking for articulable facts. I'm looking for something that describes behavior, okay? Not like, well, they sounded mean, okay? I need something beyond that. So if you're sending me something that's security related, it can't be a feeling. It has to be an articulable fact. It has to be something that you observe, describe the behavior, describe the situation that you saw, no suppositions, that leads you to believe there's some security stuff going on, if that makes any sense. Local areas, what are you observing? What are you seeing? Are you seeing, is there an overt prostitution? I mean, how do you know? Give me some facts on that, some observations of behaviors. Same thing with, if you think you see criminal activity related to maybe protests, just give me, that's what I need. And that's what I can go back to the company with and say, look, it only gives more credibility to your report as you describe behaviors, particular behaviors, with good detail and dates, times, that kind of thing, chronology. That's very, very helpful. That gives me something to stand on to go, look, we need to make a change and it needed to happen yesterday.
Yeah, that's really good advice, an important distinction that our pilots can take to heart. And what I'm hearing from both of you is that there's just no substitute for the perspective of our line pilots, from the men and women who are out there on the front line day after day, flying the trips and experiencing firsthand the conditions. So really good guidance, and thank you for that. I think our members will find it useful. So
yeah, they, it makes them part of the solution at the end of the day. Your eyes, your observations, your reporting make you part of the solution.
That's excellent. So with that, gentlemen, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our pilots for now to help them keep in mind the importance of personal safety and how best to ensure it for themselves and their fellow crew members and passengers?
I've got a few things that we've seen over the past 5 years that I've been hotel chairman. We've heard a lot of different things, such as one pilot who has a 50-point inspection whenever they get to their room, checking for this, checking for that. A few things that we, the hotel committee, suggest is always monitor your luggage. Monitor it at the front desk. Monitor your luggage during transportation loading or unloading. Don't just assume that your luggage is going to get on the third-party transportation or the hotel shuttle. Another thing is always have your guest room door locked. Most hotel doors have double locks. Use both of them. Some pilots enter the room, they forget to lock the door. The next thing they know, housekeeping or security staff, or maybe even someone that was given the same room as yours, is opening their door. So if you can always lock your doors. Another thing is always verify your door is fully closed anytime you leave your room. Some of these doors close very softly and they don't fully close. And so the door is not locked. It's a self-locking door and it doesn't actually reach the latch to where it locks. So always verify your door is locked. Never have your room key and your room sleeve together, because your room sleeve typically has your room number written on it. Need to keep these separate. So we've had pilots drop their key with the sleeve and it has a room number. And the next thing they know, someone's entered their room, stolen their technology, stolen passport, stolen other things from within their room. So it's always best. A lot of pilots will put the room key in one pocket and put the actual sleeve in the other that has your room number on it. On layovers, it's typically best to travel or tour with another pilot or another crew member, especially in cities that you are unfamiliar. Once you've been to Spain for the 10th time or Frankfurt for the 20th time, once you know a city better, you can always remain vigilant of your surroundings if you're traveling alone. Everybody knows to leave their valuables at home or locked up in their guest room safe, but some pilots forget that their cell phone is extremely valuable to people in different communities and stuff like that, and their cell phone shouldn't be flashed around as they're using it for a GPS or a guide to be walking from point to point in a city. There is already built-in safety and security protocols before you go on your layover. APA has inspected the hotel along with an AA rep and an APFA rep. American Airlines Corporate Security also reviews all hotels. Part of the contract with the hotel states crew members will not be placed on the first floor, nor will they be placed on a level where there is a walkable, easy access to the guest room, because first floor rooms are obviously a bigger safety factor than second, third, fourth, and higher floors. So there's already things built into your layover that we're working with the hotel. American Airlines is working with the hotel to make your layover safe. But obviously, we still have to remain vigilant. We still have to look out for each other. The only other piece was front desk. The people at the front desk can give great advice. In Georgetown, specifically the Ramada Hotel, the Marriott Hotel, now pilots are at the Pegasus and the Marriott Hotel. The front desk is telling pilots, do not leave the secure compound of the hotel. It's not safe to be traveling around Guyana. If you do decide to leave, make sure you're with another crew member. Make sure you take a taxi or a cab if you're going to one of the restaurants, and then take the taxi or cab back. It's not safe to be walking around outside. So front desk are the local experts that know the different markets that can advise what's the best thing to do, whether or not it's walk, take a cab, or not leave the property at all. And once again, the hotel debrief is the number one way for us to be able to address specific safety, security concerns, be able to forward the exact information to Paul and his committee to look over and to address also. Just can't emphasize enough that if we don't have a hotel debrief, it's very difficult for us to address something.
No, you know, I'd certainly like to add that, you know, watch each other's back. You know, your team there, work with each other. You know, maybe you're working with somebody who's a slam clicker and doesn't want to go out. Okay. But really try to go out together. Don't go out by yourself, or try to avoid it as best you can. You know, that's just stacks the deck in your favor.
That's just fantastic advice. You guys are both a wealth of information. I can tell you that. Paul, any closing thoughts here?
No, it was great stuff, Andrew. And I chuckle because I think of a couple of thefts of luggage that occurred actually in Madrid. And in one case, you know, one of our pilots dragged his bags up to Starbucks and then left them at the entrance and walked into the Starbucks. And of course, that disappeared, all of his luggage. And then another one was waiting for the crew van on the front curb with the group, was approached by somebody who distracted him, actually was able to turn him away. So his back was with his, to his luggage, and that disappeared. So, you know, it can happen. And that's great advice. Keep your luggage in front of you, basically, and your eyes on at all time. Don't drop your guard. You know, just securing your room. Don't travel with valuables. You know, dress down. We have a tendency, we dress well, and sometimes that comes off. And you know, it said ostentatious displays of wealth, right? Obviously avoid that. You're big, you know, Rolex or whatever, you know, dress down, try to blend in, don't stand out. We do anyways, as Americans, generally speaking, wherever we go, we stand out, but do your best not to. But yeah, good stuff, Andrew.
Well, gentlemen, I feel like we need to do this pretty regularly. So expect to hear from me again, and a really good sound advice for our members. And I want to thank you for your time. So, and also thanks to the membership for listening. We appreciate the feedback we're getting from you about this new format for APA, communicating via podcast. And we hope you enjoyed listening to this one. And until next time, thank you again.